Are you ready to step into your power? If so, I want to tell you about my brand new one-to-one mentorship program, Powerhouse. Power stands for productivity, organization, wealth, energy, and relationships. The five things that I teach my clients to help them step into their fullest potential. So if you are tired of playing small, ready for change, and want to excel in these five areas, go to jenniferfordberry.com and sign up for a free application call to see if you are ready to be a powerhouse.
Welcome to the Make Room Show, formerly titled The 29-Minute Mom. I am your host, Jennifer Fordberry, certified professional organizer, best-selling author, and coach. I've spent the last two decades teaching women how to get organized so that they can free up more space, time, energy, and money. This podcast is for the woman who wants to make room in her home and in her life for the people and the things that matter the most. Each week, I am bringing you episodes that will help you feel less overwhelmed and more inspired to create the life that you deserve. So come on, girl, let's do this together. Hey, everybody. So happy you're back. I hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful week and you're just getting rid of all the clutter in your life. Today, we're going to talk about a certain form of clutter that you might not even realize is affecting you and possibly, you know, preventing you from living your best life possible. First off, I want to start out and say that I'm going to dedicate this episode to a very special person that just passed away from our neighborhood a couple of days ago. And I want to use this dedication as a reminder to all of us that when we are spending our time here on earth, it's never about the stuff. It's never about what we own, and how when we pass away, those of the people that are left behind that loved us are never going to talk about anything that we physically owned. They're going to talk about things that had to do with our personality and how we spent our time here. And so this episode is dedicated to our good friend, Mikey, who just recently passed away. And I just want to say that the things that I remember most about him are the fact that he, first of all, always had a smile on his face. He was always in a good mood. He was also the person that when we moved to this neighborhood, he was one of the first to welcome us with open arms. He had already lived in the neighborhood. He was very welcoming to our kids. And it's interesting because I always worried about, how it would be to move into an already established neighborhood and build a house. And so I remember him telling me how much he appreciated having younger kids move into the neighborhood. Him and his wife were older. And he said, I don't like when it's just quiet and there's nothing going on. I love hearing the kids playing outside and riding their bikes and making noise. And he was always the person that would tell the kids that, hey, if you're doing a fundraiser from school or you have something to sell, make sure you come over. I'll always order from you. And just things like that, just a kind, warm, happy, full of life type of person are the things that we all remember about Mikey. So this episode is dedicated to you, Mikey, and may it be a reminder to all of us that life is not about the stuff and that each day is a gift, and it's how we spend that gift, and it's who we make room for each day that counts the most. So with that being said, the form of clutter that I want to talk to you about today is mental clutter. I think mental clutter can take a toll on your life, and it can prevent you from reaching your highest purpose here on earth. It can make it hard to focus too. So as a society, we need to learn how we can just take control of this mental clutter, get it away from us, purge it from our brain, because it's distracting us from living the life that we are put here to live. And I think one of the things that you can do to kind of purge your mental clutter is realize that it's there, realize that it's affecting you, and just learn how to turn it off and turn that mental negative clutter into positive messages and affirmations in your life. It's interesting that I'm talking about this today, and I wasn't planning on mentioning this, but I've been reading the book, The Surrender Experiment from Michael Singer. Awesome book if you ever get a chance to read it. But he starts out and he talks about in the book how this is like, there's this voice in your brain at all times, kind of just chattering. And sometimes it's chattering about things that we don't even want to listen to, right? But we're not quite sure how to turn it off. And throughout the experiment that he refers to in the book, he learns how to quiet that chatter, how to quiet that mental clutter down, and how to control it in a way that suits him better. And then he takes it a step further and he starts to experiment with not being attached to the outcome of things, to have less opinion. So, you know, our brains are going, our minds are like, hey, I don't like this. I want this to happen. I don't want that to happen. All these scenarios, right? Or I like that shirt and I hate that person, or I like this person, and just on and on with opinions. And he starts to realize that he can just not have an opinion on it. He can just wait and let life unfold in front of him. And whatever happens on a daily basis, he'll just accept it and ride with it, go with it, and not have such an attachment to it. And it's very, very interesting because he'll start out where a circumstance will happen in his life. And then he'll say, okay, I'm getting all worked up over this. I'm getting too much mental clutter. Let me just take a minute, do some meditation, do some breath work, calm myself down, and just not be attached. And he'll let it play out, right? Whatever circumstance life brought to him, he'll just let it play out. And it always elevates him. It always ends up being an awesome experience. It always ends up taking him to the next step. It always ends up being like a really cool, you know, just a really cool experience. And I keep thinking about this book all week. I love that. And I really am going to work on that myself, of just being less attached to the outcome. So I want to let you know that a little fact that you probably are going to be surprised to hear, that most people's minds are so cluttered, they can barely keep the same thought for 60 seconds. Isn't that crazy? Like, that should tell you right now how much stuff is going through our mind every single minute of every single day, right? And this mental clutter, it makes us have feelings. It like starts in our mind. It might be a thought that we didn't even like consciously choose. And we were like, I want to think this right now. It just shows up. Okay. Like lots of forms of clutter do, but it makes us feel a certain way. So now this thought that we didn't even ask for, this piece of mental clutter, is making us feel overwhelmed. It can make us feel fearful. It can make us feel stressed. It can make us feel tired. And it really can put a damper on our productivity and what we are accomplishing on a daily basis. So you want to be aware of it. And I'm going to go through some of the different types of mental clutter, because you will start to recognize them in your own life and be aware of them. And then you'll be able to, you know, figure out how you're going to handle it. Just like any form of clutter. Once we realize it's happening, then we know how to purge ourselves of it. The first type of mental clutter, and it's one that we all struggle with at certain points, is worry and fear. And it's funny because worry and fear can really paralyze us. We can have thoughts of worry and fear that maybe aren't even rational. Maybe we think they're rational, but maybe they're really not. And we need to control the level of worry and fear that we have going on in our brains. Because if we don't, it will spiral. And I'm going to share a little bit of a story of what happened to me recently when it came to worry and fear. I can't go into all the details because it really affects another family that I know. But my son started driving this past year. He got his driver's license. And I realized that every time he left the house, went to school or work, I was really stuck in worry and fear. And it was annoying. Like, I didn't want to live my life that way. And I was constantly worried. And I ended up talking to somebody about it. And what was interesting is putting two and two together, I realized that it's a situation I had lived through back when I was in high school, where I felt like a download came from God. Like, all of a sudden, this message came from God. I can't explain it. I didn't even know it was a download at the time, right? I just knew that I got this message that was in my brain and I acted on it. I didn't even have to question it. I just knew it was true. I can't explain it. I know this sounds crazy to some of you listening, but this happened to me. And so I went to the person and I said, I feel like I got this download from God that something's going to happen to you, that you're going to pass away if you're not careful. And this was to a teenage boy. So long story short, of course, this person thought that he was invincible. He was young, carefree, and he just kind of laughed it off. You know, Jen, I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about me. You know, I'm fine. I'm good. And it just kept nagging at me. And it's a really long story. But in essence, within 2 weeks, this person passed away. And it rocked our world. It was one of the most awful things I've ever experienced in my life. It was completely tragic, completely heartbreaking. It actually broke the hearts of almost, you know, our entire town and our entire school. It was awful. And to learn that this download that I had actually came true was incredible, to say the least. And so what was happening when I would kept worrying about my son, and this is the part that was just mind boggling, is that I just kept thinking, oh my gosh, every time I worry about him, could this be a download? Could this be like an intuition? And I had to work with an expert to really decipher the difference between what is a true download from God or an intuition, whatever you want to call it, and what is just common worry that doesn't mean it's going to happen or come true. And it took months. I was really struggling with it, but I finally figured out the difference between the two. And I realized that I had to be proactive about controlling this mental clutter in my head about worry. And so what I decided to do is, instead of every time, you know, my son would leave the house, I was basically like begging God to keep him safe all the time. Like, please keep him safe going here and there and there. And I still tend to do that once in a while, but I'm telling you this because I know there's moms out there listening that can relate. And if this is touching you, please let me know, because I would love to know that I'm sharing this personal story for a reason, but I felt called to share it today. So I started changing the mental clutter narrative from please God keep him safe to thank you God, thank you for keeping him safe again today. And I started to watch how it just calmed me down. And I started to realize that, hey, I can trust God with my worries and my fears. I can put them onto God, and then he'll deliver by keeping my son safe, by keeping my boy safe. And so every time he would come home safely, I would feel really like, wow, this is such a better way to live. Rather than living in worry and fear, I just kept trusting God more and more with this concern of mine, with this fear of mine. And over time, it's still a work in progress, but over time, I feel like I've calmed down so much and I stopped thinking the worst. I stopped thinking that every time I had a worry, it was this intuition that was trying to tell me something, because there was a significant difference between the two. So I hope that helps somebody listening today. But the worst thing is that, you know, getting on that worry train is something that once it starts, it's hard to get off. So you really have to retrain your brain to think differently about something. The second form of mental clutter that I think a lot of people are struggling with is just simply negative self-talk. Negative self-talk is like having someone follow you around all day, constantly pointing out all the things that are wrong with you, right? It can also be described as a voicemail in your head that just keeps repeating over and over. And it's super distracting. It wastes time and it wastes energy. Some examples can sound like, who am I to start this new business? Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I feel like I'm a fraud because everybody else is doing this, you know, type of business better than me, or my dreams will never come true, or I'm not a good mom. I'm not a good enough mom, or I'm not skinny enough, right? I should be skinnier. I should lose some weight. I don't have enough money. I need to make more money. What can I do to make more money? It's just this constant focus on what you're lacking instead of focusing on what you already have. And to that, another thing to do with this is just flip it around into gratitude. Like, I'm so thankful that I have the business that I have, you know, and I'm working every day to get better at it. I'm growing. I'm on a journey. I'm going to get there someday, right? I'm doing what I can. I'm being productive with my time, and I will get there someday. It's going to happen. Like changing that negative self-talk to something positive. If it's something like, okay, I'm not skinny enough, right? I need to lose weight. Then it's like, okay, I'm a healthy, fit person, and I'm doing the best I can. And every day I prioritize health. I go for a walk with my dog. I take my vitamins. I'm not going to eat a hot fudge sundae for dinner. Like I am making baby steps towards becoming a fit and healthy person. Like somehow we need to stop the negative recording and hit play with a new recording that is more positive, because there's nothing beneficial about dwelling in the negative self-talk. Nothing beneficial at all. It will just bring you down. And when you let it, it will seep all the energy out of your body and you won't feel like being a productive person, right? If I'm dwelling all day long on how much weight I have to lose, that's surely not energizing me to get my butt to the gym. It's just not happening. So you want to fill your brain, your mind with positive self-talk so that it can energize you enough to make the changes needed to make you need to make in your life. The next one is perfectionism. So, and I hear this by working with women who own businesses all the time. They have these big dreams and aspirations, and they want to, it's getting a little dark in here. I need to turn on my light. I'm always dealing with women that they want to take their business to the next level, and they have all the dreams in the world, right? They have goals, but they're so stuck in perfectionism that they can't get out of their own way. They feel like, okay, I'm going to launch this new website when, my Instagram account's perfect. And then I have, 5,000 people on my email list. And then I have, 5 products to sell. And I, have this really elaborate page, and on and on. There's like all these things, and they have to be perfect. And they never take the first step into launching the website and letting the world know about their product or service. Like perfectionism will stop you every time. If you just put your foot in the water, right, in the shallow end, and then figure out how to swim in the shallow end, then you can swim in the deep end, right? So you can't get in the water if you're so worried that you have the perfect bathing suit on with the perfect sunglasses and the perfect sun hat and the weather is the perfect temperature of 86.5 degrees. I mean, if you waited for all these perfect things to happen, you wouldn't get in the water and start learning how to swim. So my advice is to not worry for the perfect, not think about the perfect day and the perfect, situation, and just do it, because you will learn by doing. So if you're waiting for the perfect time to do something, you're going to be waiting your entire life. The time is now to make a change. The time is now, right? The time is now to end a relationship, start a business, follow your heart, write a book. Because if not now, then when? There's never really a perfect time, ever. There will always be forms of mental clutter that show up as questions, doubts, fears, In spite of them, you have to make a step in the right direction. You have to take action. I wrote my first book in between my kids' naps, cooking dinners, and running a little consignment store. It wasn't a perfect time, right? I could have made excuses. I could have said, when my son isn't running through my consignment store, messing up the racks, he's a little bit older and more self-sufficient, then I'll write my book. Or when my store is bringing X amount of dollars in per month, then I'll have, the bandwidth to start writing my book. Because I wrote the book in the middle of chaos, it led to 5 other books. It led to a podcast. It led to a career. But if I had waited to write my first book at the perfect time, I'd still be waiting. There's no perfect time. I'd still be like today, oh, well, now it's my son's senior year, so I don't have time to write this year. Next year, when I'm an empty nester, I'll start writing a book. No, I would have missed out on decades, right, of opportunity and business growth and, you know, money and all the things if I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. So there's no perfect time. You just need to start and you will learn along the way. Another form of mental clutter is people pleasing. The underlying urge to make others happy is not necessarily a bad thing, but it gets to the point when you are doing it to the detriment of yourself, it becomes a problem. When you're so worried or obsessed with making somebody else happy or getting them to like you and be happy with you, that's a form of mental clutter. That is a distraction from what you're supposed to be doing with your life. And it can become a serious issue. Now, do I feel like you shouldn't take other people's opinions into consideration? No. Their feelings into consideration? No. But if you walk around life always worried about what everybody else is going to think, what everybody else wants you to do, you're going to be so cluttered in your mind, you're going to lose sight of what you want to think and do. And we need to be very clear that we are all made individually on purpose, that we are sent here the way we are packaged for a reason. And it doesn't have to be for everybody, and not everybody has to like it. Okay. So when you are dealing with people pleasing, stop and ask yourself, what am I hoping to gain by getting this person to like me more or to be happy with me or to invite me to things? What am I hoping to gain by focusing so much on what that person wants from me? And that will be, you know, that'll be really eye-opening if you can come up with the solution and the answer to that. Another form of mental clutter, relationship drama, kind of goes hand in hand with people pleasing, right? Have you ever gotten into an argument with a friend or family member and replayed the words that you spewed out to each other over and over and over in your head? And have you ever wondered why a friend has been so distant, but haven't addressed the issue face to face? Like, you know, you haven't heard from a friend, but you keep thinking about that friend, but you haven't reached out. And then if you did, right, if you get to the other side and you finally reach out, usually it can be fixed. And if it can't be fixed, you realize that wasn't a friend you wanted to begin with, right? I've had that happen both scenarios. I've had it happen where I've wondered what happened to this person I haven't heard from. And I reach out and, you know, you find out, okay, they've been mad for 4 months about something silly. And you're just like, okay, why wouldn't you just contact me directly and talk about this? Now you've just avoided the conversation for months and months. It's just cowardly, right? It could go the other side where you're like, hey, I haven't heard from you. And you find out the person's been going through something really hard, or they were ashamed about a decision they made and they didn't want to tell you. It could be a variety of reasons. But that mental clutter of trying to assume you know what the other person's thinking is the clutter part. It's just relationship drama that doesn't need to happen. You can go to the person directly and find out the answer without having to figure out and assume it on your own, which you could be, you know, 350 degrees away from the truth. You don't know until you ask, right? So the best way to clear this type of mental clutter is just to have an open and honest conversation with the person that you're in relationship with. Many times our assumptions are way, way worse than reality. Okay, triggers. Big, big form of mental clutter, and also, you know, quite frankly, big form of relationship drama. So relationships are constantly altered or destroyed because of triggers. And we all have them. We all have these things that push our buttons, right? Triggers are usually birthed from thoughts that we have carried around for a long, long time that may or may not have anything to do with reality. Thoughts, like triggers actually, you know, usually are from the past, but they seep into current situations. And sometimes they have nothing to do with the current situation, but it's altering our perspective about the situation. Something another person does, right? it's like maybe not a big deal in this relationship, but because it triggers you from some past relationship, like, okay, your spouse like tells you something that doesn't end up being true, right? Maybe it's not even a big deal, but all of a sudden you're triggered because way back 20 years ago, you had this boyfriend that lied to you and cheated on you all the time. So you think that your husband could be that person now. It's a trigger, right? And so you know that your thoughts are affecting the current situation more than the actual relationship at hand. So the thing we need to remember is do not let your triggers define your reality. Stick to the facts, stick to the truth. Perception is so crucial in a relationship. And perception is something that can be, it can wave in the wind between person to person. What I perceive can be completely different from what you are perceiving in the same exact situation. So keep that in mind. It's much better to sit down face to face with an open heart, be vulnerable, and just say, hey, I know this had nothing to do with you, but it triggered me. It could be back to the friend thing. It could be like, hey, when I don't hear from you, I'm triggered thinking that you're abandoning me or you don't love me anymore. I mean, whatever it is, I think any human being hearing that is going to have empathy and like, oh, okay, I know this has nothing to do with me. It's something that's triggering you. And I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that you're going through that. Mental clutter. We have two more. Financial debt, financial concerns, right? Money concerns cause a ton of mental clutter. Fear of not being able to pay your bills or worse, not being able to feed your family can cause you to spend a ton of time worrying. So if you are not happy with your financial situation, my first encouragement, instead of like letting your mind just go crazy out of control, what if this and what if that, and like imagining worst case scenarios, I would say grab hold of the reins, reel it in, and take control of your financial situation. Number one, by looking at your financial status and getting really honest with yourself on what is happening. How are you spending your money? How are you saving your money? What's some changes you can make? Are you being honest with your partner about your finances, all the things? And then it kind of like, it's like what they always say, you shine a light on the darkness and that fear goes away. So you shine a spotlight on your finances and you get really honest with yourself. You take a look at it and you say, this is the truth. And if the truth hurts and you don't like it, you take action steps to make a change. And you control that, right? You control how you spend your money. You do. You control where it's going and what you're doing with it, whether or not you're saving it, whether or not you're going to Target every other day and spending $200. I mean, you control that. But a lot of times I think people are afraid to get the honest snapshot of their finances. They just keep avoiding it. And then that just makes that mental clutter grow because we're not sure of how accurate it is. And then finally, unfinished tasks or lack of time management is a huge form of mental clutter. And, you know, it's so interesting to me. I love talking about time management and I love talking about productivity. And it's something that it empowers me because I feel like how I've learned to get really good at my time management has changed the course of my life. It makes me feel like I can do anything as long as I plan accordingly with my time. We were just talking about this in my new program, Foundations, where for business owners, I've been teaching them how to really take control of their time, how to prioritize, how to, you know, what kind of planner to use, how to organize your time into a container, how to do time blocking, how to manage your to-do list in a way that feel like you're moving the needle and not just staying busy. It's so important. Super important for business owners, but it's important for all of us. And this could be one of the biggest culprits of mental clutter, because when we don't finish tasks that we are responsible for, it hangs over us like a dark cloud for the rest of the week until we finish it. whether or not we feel like doing it. So we have to do things all the time that we don't feel like doing, we don't want to do, but as soon as you face up and do it, you feel like a million bucks. And that mental clutter dissipates. It stops haunting you because you're like, okay, I did it. Boom. You get this like boost of endorphins, boost of energy. You're like, what else can I tackle today? So it makes us, you know, this like unfinished task, this lack of time management, it makes us feel irresponsible. It makes us feel unproductive, and it can become another repeated message that goes into your mind that ties to negative self-talk. It can say, I don't get stuff done, I'm lazy, I never meet my goals, I don't finish what I start, and on and on and on it goes. Where again, you can take control of this, just like with the money. You can stop letting this ruin your life, and you can start changing the narrative by getting good at time management, by learning how to be productive, by implementing systems that work, by learning from experts that have already learned a way that works better. You can do that. And, you know, you can, you can just say, maybe this isn't something that comes natural to me, but like anything else, it's a skill I can learn. It's a skill I can learn. Where do I go to get resources to learn this skill? So those are all the different types of mental clutter that can kind of sneak up on you in life and really distract you from how you're supposed to be living your life. So here are just some quick tips on how to help you with mental clutter that I want you to take away with you today and start implementing into your life. Number one is get clear on the vision for your life, because the more clear you are about what you're doing and where you're going and who you are, the less you're going to believe all those things, the negative self-talk, the people-pleasing, because you know you have a job to do and nothing's going to get in the way. Number two is to journal. Journaling is a powerful tool that helps us stay clear on what we want to accomplish. So write down when you're struggling with mental clutter, write down what they are. Maybe writing down these things, like these messages that come through that are negative self-talk, you look at it and read it and go, this is absolutely ridiculous. Like if my best friend wrote this down, I'd be like, I'm going to slap you. You're not even telling the truth to yourself, right? So write it down, journal about your thoughts, your feelings, your goals, and then you'll see a pattern and you'll start to say, this one is just driving me nuts. It needs to go. Number three, brain dump. Brain dumping all the things that you want to do, the important things, into a systemized, organized, to-do system that you can track and that actually works, not a bunch of scrap pieces of paper all over your life, right? Not a bunch of post-it notes, a system that actually works. That can free up a ton of mental clutter. And then it also is like, once you get that system down and it's really working, then you know, hey, I have a system for when I get things done. So I don't feel like I have to do it right now. I know, okay, these tasks, boom, 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 they're getting done on this date. Like time management will help you with mental clutter so much. It's literally life-changing. Number four is give yourself permission for downtime. So what are your favorite things to do to unwind and relax? Like if your brain's going to million miles a minute all day long, you have to have a way to calm it down. Maybe that's exercise. Maybe that's reading a book. Maybe that's watching TV at night. Maybe that's, you know, sitting down by the fireplace and having a glass of wine with your partner. Who knows? But I know my mind is very full of action items all day long, and I need to unwind at night. It's a very important part of my nighttime routine. And without it, I can't just jump in bed and go to sleep. My mind will still be thinking. So I've really learned how to embrace a nighttime routine and make it work for me. The next one is to let go of the guilt, whether real or imagined. When guilt stems from something you did wrong, you can apologize or avoid repeating your behavior in the future. So when you start to feel like, okay, I have, you know, really messed up and now it's creating negative self-talk or fear or anxiety or whatever the case may be, just owning it a lot alleviates that guilt. and, you know, freeze up that space in your mind so that you stop dwelling on it. You stop dwelling on that relationship drama. You go to the source, you figure it out. You're brave, you're courageous, you hit it head on, and then you don't have to worry about it anymore. You don't have to keep thinking about it. You can free up that space in your mind for something else. And then finally, just simply decide to choose differently. If you don't like the way your thoughts or your actions make you feel, choose differently next time and see what happens. If you don't like this mental clutter driving you nuts and ruining your day, take action. It's just like I shared with that story about worrying. It's like, what could I do differently so that I would start to control my thoughts and my thoughts wouldn't be in control of me anymore? And it made such a difference. And there is always going to be mental clutter. I don't think we're ever going to be completely free of it, but it's like any other clutter that comes into your life. So if your life is cluttered with paper, if your life is cluttered with too many tchotchkes, if your life is cluttered with too many clothes, you can learn how to purge, categorize, and organize, and you can come up with a new system, a new method of handling this type of clutter, and a new way to purge it so that you can get to the other side of it. And I know you can do that. And if you're struggling, reach out to me. I'd love to help you do it. And if this episode was something that really helped you and resonated with you, please share it with, share a review with me, and also share it with any of your friends that might need to hear it. Somebody out there that you know is struggling with mental clutter and could really use this resource, because that's why I'm recording it. I want to help as many people out in the world that need to hear it. So the best way to do that is to pass it on. And until next week, God bless. Hey girl, sorry to interrupt, but real quick, I just want to make sure that if you are a woman business owner that wants to get her workspace, her business, her time organized, then I want to make sure that you realize my program Foundations launches February 15th. And it is for the woman who wants to get all the foundations in her business organized so that she can level up, create more space, more time, more energy, so that she can make more money this year. So if you're interested, go to jenniferfordberry.com and look for Foundations.